Welcome back to The Source on KSTX and David Martin Davies. As Governor Greg Abbott gave his inaugural address today on this beautiful January day, he made several direct references to keep Texas' sovereignty intact from the overreaching federal government. But he also made this remark that could be seen as a reference to Texas cities getting too liberal.
Any government that uses the guise of fairness to rob us of our freedom will get a uniquely Texan response. Come and take it.
Abbott said recently that Texas cities were putting the state in danger of becoming California with bans on bags and such. And some have said that is not consistent with his local control stance for other issues like for education. Well, what do you think? There are lots of ways for you to get into this conversation. You can give us a call at 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You can email your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org and send us a tweet at tprsource. We're joined by Bennett Sandlin, the executive director of the Texas Municipal League, Jeff Coyle, the City of San Antonio Intergovernment Relations Director, and James Quintero, the director of the Center for Local Government at the Texas Public Policy Institute. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you.
So, James, over at the Texas Public Policy Institute, you guys are widely accepted to be a conservative organization, and that's where Greg Abbott made those comments about Texas cities kind of creating a patchwork of liberalism in the state. So I imagine that you see eye to eye with the governor on that issue.
Absolutely. Here at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, we love low taxes and limited government. And I think when Governor Abbott mentioned the patchwork quilt of bans and restrictions and regulations that are eroding the Texas model, I think he was absolutely correct. What we're seeing right now is more and more municipalities across the state are passing these kind of nanny state restrictions under the guise of local control. And I think what we have to remember as Texans is the importance, the overriding principle is not local control, it's liberty.
Okay, liberty. So, what are some, give me some examples.
Sure. Well, right, so just off the top of my head, you see a number of municipalities passing things like ride-sharing regulations or cell phone restrictions or tree-cutting bans, plastic bag bans and fees and fracking bans. I mean, if you can think of it, local governments have a ban or restriction for it. That's the way it seems to be these days.
So let me go through those. So the ride sharing being restrictive about what Uber, what they do, right? And trying to have
right.
some regulation over that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just trying to. So you listed them, but I wanted to try and establish what these regulations are that you're having a problem with. And so you don't think that a city hall, should have the ability to make sure that these companies are working at the same standards that taxi cabs are, or what are your concerns?
So my concerns is that the local government really is impeding on the ability of the free market to provide a competitive service. So what we're seeing across the state are city governments becoming involved in the ride-sharing, you know, the Ubers and the Lyfts of the world, and trying to impose unnecessary regulatory burdens on their business structures. They're effectively trying to turn them into taxi cab companies, and that's not what they are. And so, you know, by altering their business model, they are making these companies either less profitable or totally unable to compete and run in certain markets. I believe Lyft just recently pulled out of the Houston market due to the high regulatory cost of what city council had proposed and passed.
Okay, and then the bag ban, that's another issue. You think that cities should not deal with bag bans at all, any city in Texas?
So with the bag bans, that's kind of interesting. You know, we, from my perspective, the plastic bag bans cater to a real small group of special interests at the expense of the whole.
Like which ones? Who are these special interests?
environmental groups primarily. And so what you're seeing is environmental special interest groups are pushing these policies at city halls, which are, in a lot of cases, adopting them in spite of research that shows that they promote unsanitary behavior. You know, when you eliminate the ability of a consumer to use a plastic bag, then they switch over to the reusable bags, but oftentimes they're not washing those bags, you know, after each use. And so unsanitary behavior is commonly seen in areas with plastic bag bans. In addition, you know, these policies cost, these restrictions cost jobs. Up in the city of Dallas, you have a major plastic bag manufacturer who employs about 500 people. Since the city just imposed its plastic bag fee restrictions beginning January 1st, the company is unsure whether it's going to be able to keep all of its employees. And so these have very real-life consequences.
They're unsure if they're able to keep all their employees. Is anyone ever sure that you're going to be able to keep all their employees?
Well, of course not. But when you
when a
government makes it harder to do business, then it shouldn't be a surprise that a business has to shed jobs and employees.
Okay. All right. So let's shift over and get Bennett Sandlin in on the conversation, executive director of the Texas Municipal League. When you heard that Greg Abbott was questioning the ability for cities to pass these types of ordinances, were you concerned?
We were a little bit surprised at first because it wasn't consistent with the things he said in the past about one-size-fits-all dictates coming down from Washington, D.C. to the state level. So we were just asking for similar consideration. After those remarks, our president of our organization, Nelda Martinez, the mayor of Corpus Christi, sent a letter to the governor telling him we're anxious to work closely with him in a constructive way. We're not going to agree on every issue, but we're going to establish a good working relationship with him. And I'll point out just on that issue of the plastic bag bans, you'll be interested to know that one of the first Texas cities to do that was the small town of Kermit, less than 5,000 population out in far west Texas, to control litter on their streets. So hardly a bastion of local environmentalists. It's just an issue of local control. You know, we've had 7 cities that done this. We've had over 1,000 cities that have not. And that's the beauty of small, local, conservative government, is you have the local voters deciding and not having larger level of government, state government, dictate to us how we should govern our local affairs. So we're pretty confident that we're doing the right thing by being the government closest to the people.
So you mentioned that your leader is with the Corpus Christi. That's a coastal city, and coastal cities have had problems with plastic bags blowing into the bay and getting into water and killing wildlife.
That's right. And South Padre Island, for example, has looked at this ordinance. Many cities have looked at it, have chosen not to. And some of these concerns that James has are the very concerns that get debated in front of city councils. We're not in favor of bag bans. We're in favor of local control and debating those things at the level where it's most important. I don't see how a resident of Austin like myself could have any say or interest in what happens in South Padre Island when it comes to protecting the turtles from their plastic bags. It's each town knows best what's best for them.
So Jeff Coyle over at the City of San Antonio, Intergovernmental Relations Director, it's your job to make sure that cities continue to work well with the state and that we don't have these type of conflicts, right?
Right, and this is a perpetual conversation that takes place at the legislature. We're often up there educating and explaining what it is we do on the local level and why it's important to our particular community. Cities are at the core of it all, creatures of the state. The state created cities to carry out business on the local level. They give us authority to do things locally, and they take authority away locally. And so, yes, it's my job to go up to the Capitol and educate the members of the legislature why it's important to have things like a tree removal ordinance here in our community.
We'll talk about that tree removal ordinance, the tree ban that was talked. What does that do? Because
sure.
That was directly referenced by Governor Abbott as collectivism.
That's correct. So we have an ordinance in San Antonio. It's a subdivision regulation, which means it only applies when you are subdividing a large property for development. It does not apply to a homeowner, ranch owner. You can chop down any tree you want on your own property, and the city doesn't have any say about it. However, if you're going to subdivide a property for a super center or for a new subdivision, a new neighborhood, we require that you keep a certain percentage of the tree canopy on that property and or mitigate by planting new trees and coming up with other strategies to preserve some of those trees. And it's interesting, James spoke a lot in terms of economics about inhibiting the free market and economic growth and costing jobs and so forth. Our tree ordinance is very much directly tied to our local economy, and here's why. It's two reasons. Our military, of course, is the largest employer in this region, $27 billion a year economic impact. Camp Bullis is critical to Fort Sam Houston and the military remaining here. It's the 28,000-acre training ground. As trees are removed around Camp Bullis, the endangered golden-cheeked warbler concentrates more on the camp and limits where the military can train and do their exercises. So by us protecting and preserving trees outside of the camp, we are allowing the military to continue to do its job to keep jobs in this community and to remain a major economic presence for us. So every session when this argument comes up, the military is usually up there in Austin with us saying, we support the local tree preservation ordinance and we need it to continue to survive in San Antonio.
Yeah, but doesn't at the end of the day, those trees belong to the landowner, right? He should be able to do with them as he feels fit.
Which a landowner can do until the point they decide to subdivide the property.
So that's the point where they lose their right over their trees?
Not their right, but that's the point where regulations kick in. And it's not just tree preservation. There are lots of development regulations that apply once you decide to develop a property. And yes, that's the point when if you're gonna develop the property, you can't just clear cut it and moonscape it. You need to preserve and protect a certain percentage of the trees, which is only about 35% of the tree canopy. As the ordinance stands, you can clear 65% of the canopy on that property. So we think it's a very, very reasonable regulation that balances both private property rights with the greater needs of the economy and the local community.
So Jeff Quintanetto over at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, reaction to that?
Sure. Well, I think that, putting restrictions on the ability of a property owner to do what they would with their own property is something that we should immediately be suspect of, right? You know, whether it be at the federal, state, or local level, ideally what public policy should be doing is protecting and promoting the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so, you know, I would simply, I think the ordinance may be well-intentioned, but I'm not sure that I necessarily agree with that.
Well, when people live together in cities, we have to figure out how we're able to maintain our rights without interfering with the rights of your next door neighbor, and that's often turns becomes the job of City Hall. We're going to continue our conversation. Should the city have the right to ban things like plastic bags or cutting down of trees or even non-discrimination ordinances? Is that something that city should be able to do? Give us a call. We're going to go to break, but when we come back, we'll take those calls. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. We're going to go to the NPR news break. We'll be right back. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Here's a quote for you. One size fits all. Solutions are pushed down from the top. We have too many unnecessary unfunded mandates from Austin. The state should set high standards, provide the tools for success, and then get out of the way. That's a quote from our new governor, Greg Abbott. He was writing about the local control for education at the time, but apparently he has a different idea when it comes to local control for city governments. We're talking about Greg Abbott's recent comments about banning bans in local state city governments. We invite you to the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, and we've got some callers. Let's get them on the air. Bob has called in. Bob, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. I would just like to make a comment about the tree ordinance. And our beloved golden-cheeked warblers commute annually between 33 counties in the Hill Country and Mexico, but the presumption is that every time you cut down a tree in Bexar County, they don't go north or west or, you know, in any direction except straight into Camp Bullis. The alternative to density is sprawl, and the alternative to sprawl is density. And the tree ordinance is causing us to grow outward when we should be growing upward and redeveloping what we have. You know, if you plant a tree now, it's 10 years old, and 100 years, it'll be 110 years old, and it'll be in the right place. So that's my comment on the tree ordinance.
Okay, Bob, thank you for those comments. Let's get Jeff Coyle, our Intergovernmental Relations Director from the City of San Antonio, to respond.
Well, the fact is Camp Bullis is largely within the City of San Antonio, and if you look around it, it is development is already occurring on virtually every side of it. So it is a fact that when you remove habitat for the warbler, they have to find some other habitat, and the undeveloped 28,000-acre camp in our community is the prime target for them to go. And, you know, I would agree with Bob's comment exactly that density and growing up is a wise strategy. Our city has focused on center city development, on building up our downtown and inner city neighborhoods to prevent the sort of sprawl that he's talking about. We incentivize it and we focus on it. We can't tell development where to go ultimately, but we can make it more attractive to build within the core of the city than out in the outlying areas.
But you talked about the golden-cheeked warbler, the endangered bird, as a one reason for having the tree ordinance. But in fact, there are many, right?
Sure.
Their air quality is another one. We've all have seen the science that tells us when you have a healthy tree canopy in a city, there are many, many benefits to that city.
That's actually a very, very important point. We are the largest city in the country that is still in attainment of the federal standards for ozone. We're the only city in the top 10 that can claim that. And there's an economic connection to that, too. If you recall, when Toyota was looking for its new home for its Tundra plant years ago, at one point in the process, they ruled out communities that were in non-attainment and said they were only going to consider communities in attainment. We ultimately were the community they selected. And yes, trees contribute positively to air quality. If we have any hopes of staying in attainment of the federal standard and avoiding all of the restrictions that come with being in non-attainment, then it's in our best interest to keep our tree canopy to the extent we can.
Back to the callers with Jim. Jim, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. Regarding the gentleman who is in favor of property rights, he probably wouldn't be real happy if I bought the property next to him and put in a garbage dump or a lead smelter. So there has to be some control over what people can do with the land, because living next to either of those probably would not be his choice.
Okay, Jim, let me get his response to that. James Quintero, that was one of the things that was brought up in Governor Abbott's comments when he was at your establishment, the Texas Public Policy Foundation, saying junkyards should be able to pretty much go wherever they want, right?
Well, I think that, you know, when we start to look at the problem of externalities, you know, there are there's some room for reasonable regulations there. But again, you know, the goal of public policy should be to protect and promote life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so to the extent that those regulations accomplish that, I think we would be in agreement with them.
So you're in agreement that these junk metal recyclers should be regulated and not be allowed to just pop up wherever they find space in a city?
Well, No. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not coming at it from a libertarian perspective. I do believe that there is room for reasonable regulation to the extent that it protects and promotes life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But we have to be careful to not make local control so much the focus as we do the concept of liberty, right? Too often, I think what we're seeing in local governments is that they assert this power of local control that, you know, just because they can, they will, and it's used to pass these nanny state regulations like plastic bag bans or, you know, these cell phone bans or the ride-sharing regulations.
So the cell phone bans would be like driving in cell phone, talking on the phone, that thing?
Right.
Okay. And so you're opposed to that?
That's correct.
That is an infringement on an individual's right to be able to drive and talk on the cell phone at the same time.
Right. You know, I trust my fellow Texans to be able to exercise good judgment and the ability to utilize their personal property in a way that they see fit.
Okay. Even though there are – all right. Well, that's interesting. Thank you.
Well, I mean, to take that further – There's plenty of research out there to suggest that cities that have passed cell phone ban restrictions, these hands-free only, like the city of Austin.
San Antonio recently.
That's right, city of San Antonio as well. They see an increase in the number of accidents because people continue to use their property, but they do so in a much more dangerous way. They, instead of looking at it right in front of them, they move it down into their lap, and so they're paying even less attention to the road and then therefore cause more accidents. So I think we have to be careful of the unintended consequences of these regulations as well. So,
okay. So Bennett Sandlin over at the Texas Municipal League. Cities, you know, I see my city councilmen at my local HEB. I see them all over the place. When we talk about taking away liberty, don't these city council people, if they do take away people's liberty, that they hear about it right away?
Not only do they hear about it right away, they'll get unelected if they go too far. I've never seen a more responsive group of elected officials to what their citizens want than local officials are, precisely for the reasons you say. They see them every day at the grocery store, at church. This idea that they're out doing things just because they can is way off base. Cities reluctantly go into these areas. They do it because their citizens have demanded it. And I think the main question is not so much, I mean, I agree with some of these debates. These are very interesting points. But the question is, do we make that decision at the government closest to the people, or is state government somehow magically the perfect level of government? You know, I heard someone, a caller the other day on a different show, called it the Goldilocks version of government. The federal government's big and bad, local governments are small and bad, and somehow, miraculously, state government's the perfect level of government to tell everybody what to do. Obviously, I don't agree with that. I think local government is one of the most responsive levels of government, and we were willing to work in partnership with the state to get things done.
All right, let's get another caller. Gabriel has called in. Gabriel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, thanks. My question was specifically regarding the cell phone restrictions. Just to hearing what he said, I'd very much like to know where he got his research from, especially regarding the correlation between looking up at a cell phone and looking down in your lap at a cell phone and how that has caused an increase in accidents. I've never heard that. I work in the telecommunications industry. Our company pushes extremely hard to keep those bands active because we know exactly what types of accidents they cause. The research is there. It's very very accurate. And I'd very much like to know what the logic is behind what he's talking about. And also, he included that in a list of things that he stated was somehow restricting or decreasing the liberty of the individual, but also decreasing the income of independent businesses. So I'd like to know in what way using your phone in your car or not using it affects a business.
Well, it hurts auto body shops. So that's how that works. Or I'm just kidding. James, how does that work?
Well, I'm not sure that one has any kind of significant economic consequences associated with it. But I can tell you that there's plenty of research out there by Heritage Foundation, the Reason Foundation, there's a few more that I can't recall off the top of my head. But if you want to email me at jquintero@texaspolicy.com, I'd be happy to send you all kinds of different articles.
But there are a lot of transportation institutes that are not affiliated with libertarian think tanks. Do they have that same sort of findings?
That's a good question. I'd have to do a little more research into that.
All right. Okay. Well, we're going to take a 1 minute break, and so you've got a minute to come up with the sources. You know, I'm kidding. But we'll continue the conversation. If you want to join, we're talking about cities and their role in passing ordinances, and are they inflicting themselves on your liberty? Should the Austin legislature do something about that? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Our new governor, Greg Abbott, says that cities' regulations on trees, bags, fracking, is Californianizing the state. Call in. We want to hear what you think about that. The number is 210-614-8980. Do you applaud local governments, cities passing ordinances saying that we got to ban local fracking, or do you think this is something that should be done only at the state level? So let me ask you about that, James, because, you know, our state legislature, they're meeting now, and they only meet once every 2 years, and then they only meet for 140 days during that 2 years. That kind of seems like that's a long time to wait for, and then they don't always get everything done that they want to get done in that 140 days. So maybe it's up for the cities to try and pick up the slack.
Well, as far as the fracking bans go, I think that because this issue has statewide economic implications, it needs to rest at the state level. You know, not only that, but you have a situation right now where, you know, a local government is prohibiting a certain type of business from operating within its jurisdiction. Which begs the question, well, okay, if you're going to ban, you know, the fracking activity and all of the businesses associated with it, where does it stop? You know,
it stops at fracking. That was the ban.
Well, for now it does. But if we allow this type of activity to go unquestioned, and you know, maybe next time folks target smoking shops, or maybe they target liquor distributors.
Well, then there are. They're saying that some cities are passing bans on selling e-cigarettes to kids under 18. Texas is one of only 8 states that does not have a ban like that.
Well, I mean, you know, I think when we get into the realm of banning types of business activities, then all kinds of red flags should be going up, because then we are really beginning to ignore the rights of the individual and give more power to government.
So should, like, strip clubs be able to go up next to a school? I mean, cities have passed ordinances against sexually oriented businesses and where they can be put up. I mean, I'm just asking because, you know, I want to figure out what your point of view is.
Again, you know, I think there's a time and a place for reasonable regulations to be enacted. But, you know, a strip club going up next to a school, I think, is a little bit different a proposition than outright banning an entire industry.
Well, isn't Denton very different? They had a charter issue which allowed fracking to go on without any regulation in the city, and so the only recourse that the community had was to ban it outright. But no other city is really talking about a fracking ban, right?
Well, so I think everybody. So what Denton did is put a moratorium on drilling activity, and really, it's uncharted territory that's not happened in the state ever before. And it's working its way through the legal system. There's a number of interested legal parties who are suing Denton to try to overturn it. In addition, there's a lot of talk up at the legislature that this kind of activity can't go unchallenged because, it does have statewide economic implications. You know, Texas relies heavily on its oil and gas revenues, I think to the tune of 15% of all GR. And so, you know, when you start tinkering with that, then it's going to have unintended economic fiscal consequences, such as reducing the amount of money available for schools and roads and, you know, all the other functions of the state.
Well, the fracking ban was voted in by a popular vote in Denton. So that seems like, you know, that is democracy in action. Isn't that liberty?
Well, let's remember that, you know, I think Jeff made a good point that local governments are creatures of the state, right? You know, the legislature could wake up tomorrow and decide to eliminate all municipalities in the state, and it would be within its right to do so. So, and, you know, the point I'm getting at is just because local governments are granted some measure of autonomy doesn't mean that they should be able to use it to trample on the rights of individuals and businesses.
Right, but the point was that people voted for the fracking ban in Denton. This was a popular vote. So don't those people have a right?
No, they
okay,
do not.
They don't have a right. Okay, let me get Jeff Coyle in on that.
I just want to add that Denton is a highly conservative community as well when you look at the makeup of that community. And so there are different populations of people all over the state of Texas, some more conservative, less conservative, different viewpoints, stronger emphasis on the environment or business or what have you. Denton is one of the more conservative ones, and you're right. The citizens decided that was something they wanted to regulate at the local level.
So Bennett Sandlin over at the Texas Municipal League, don't cities sometimes have to step up because the legislature just can't get it done?
I think that's a good point. And I think it's also a partnership issue. The state, as has been pointed out many times today, created us to do their work. We're not out there in conflict with the state. The state counts on us to do things like keep the liquor store away from your house or your school or that type of thing, or make sure that fracking doesn't take place right behind someone's back fence. And so we exist at the state's will, but we exist to do a crucial role of regulating urban areas. We've had a great partnership with the oil and gas industry for over 100 years. The only reason this thing came up in Denton was because one operator up there didn't want to live by the distance rules that every other responsible oil and gas operator from Fort Worth to Dallas to Denton gets along with. And you're right, it wasn't the city, no city council has ever banned fracking. It was the citizens that forced it on their council because they were fed up with that one operator. So cities work very well with the oil and gas industry. We're going to work this out. That's going to work its way through the court system. You're not going to see a rush of cities looking to ban oil activity. In fact, many cities get a substantial amount of their tax revenue from oil and gas activity that takes place on city property. So we're partners with the oil and gas industry, and I don't think you're going to see this thing spread wildly throughout the state.
Let's go back to the phone lines with Gail. Hi, Gail. Welcome to The Source. Hi. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to make a couple comments and a rhetorical question. I don't think that we live in a world where what one person does not affect other people. And I do feel a city should be able to control the plastic bags, set goals for tree preservation, cell phone usage, strip clubs, because it protects society. It is for the benefit and the welfare of all people, not just a small group of people. And I would just ask, how many jobs would be lost, and who will want to come to visit San Antonio when it becomes a treeless, hot, polluted, bag-littered city where people drive recklessly while they're on their cell phones? Regulations are needed.
All right. Gail, thank you so much for the call. Let's get Jim on the line. He's called in. Hey, Jim, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was going to make a comment and then a follow-up after maybe the folks all respond.
Okay.
You know, if you go back through the history of Texas, and I've lived in other states, it's much the same everywhere I've been. The issue of state versus local or state versus national, it's largely a political football depending on who's in power. They will tout their own agenda and use it either way depending on where they sit in the overall power structure. And I've witnessed this in Pennsylvania, in Florida, in Texas, in California. It's the same pattern in both parties. This is nothing new. It's a reflection of the political mindset that they want to further their own agenda, often for their own benefit as opposed to the benefit of the people who vote contrary to some of these policies.
Okay, so Bennett, let's get your reaction to that from the Texas Municipal League. Is this just what side you're on?
I think we're going to be good partners with Governor Abbott. I think the remarks that he's made over the years about local control in the school context probably are closer to his vision of state-local partnership. We're going to be partners with the governor. We do his work for him. I mean, we exist as creatures of the state, and we're going to keep the economic miracle alive in Texas. You know, many, many great businesses have been moving to Texas because cities are doing a good job of being the state's partner, the Toyota plant to San Antonio, recent Toyota headquarters to Plano, Texas, the Caterpillar plant to Seguin, and so on and so forth. So we see ourselves as partners with the state, not competitors with the governor. We each have our own spheres of influence, and we kind of stay out of each other's way to do those jobs. And I think we're going to have a a healthy partnership going forward.
Okay, another caller, Rashad, has called in. Rashad, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I think what's really at issue here with the gentleman from the Texas Public Policy on the side of the governor, you know, it doesn't have so much to do with these smaller bag bans or tree bans. I think they're trying to go after the much bigger picture things here, like fracking, like gun control. They don't like to see what's happening in Denton and counties in Pennsylvania, you know, where they're really trying to pass sensible laws against guns and some of these bigger picture things that, you know, he's really going after. And just on a side note here, I kind of have to say that, you know, listening to this discussion, you know, the other two gentlemen here are really playing for the Yankees and the Red Sox. Well, this guy for the public policy is on my high school baseball team. I mean, this isn't even a fair conversation with how reasonably, you know, the other side is. But this, you know, gentleman from the public policy, it's all about politics, liberty, this whole, like, guise of just...
Okay, so James, let's give you a last shot at that since you're with the Texas Public Policy Foundation. I mean, so where is this going? Are we going to see something come out of Austin that's really going to hurt the ability of our cities to pass regulations?
Well, first let me say that I am a sucker for liberty, so if it comes across that way...
I think we all are.
Well, you know, on the plastic bag, someone made a comment that it's not going to be that big of an issue, but I'll tell you what... former Attorney General Greg Abbott issued an advisory opinion late last year that basically said municipalities enacting these types of ordinances are likely violating state law.
Okay.
And yet you see instances like in the city of Dallas where they move forward with it anyway.
Right. So, we're running out of time. So I got to thank you. We'll see what happens further with the legislature. And that's James Quintanetto, the director of the Center for Local Government at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. This is The Source on KSTX.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is produced by Paul Flav and David Martin Davies. Our chief engineer is Doug C. DeMore. Management and oversight provided by VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Production assistance is provided by me, Ruben Garcia. The Source is a production of Texas Public Radio. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.